Hello, and it's so good to be here with you here at FOSDEM. And while we're not on a campus together in a beautiful winter day in Belgium, we do get to spend a lot of time together delving into so many different topics, which is really one of the hallmarks of FOSDEM every single year. My name is Ben Greenberg, and I get to work at Vonage as a Ruby developer advocate and as a member of the platform engineering team. And today I want to spend some time with all of you talking about how we refactored and transformed our single site Ruby on Rails docs platform into a platform tool that powers multiple documentation developer portals for us that we call Station. To begin that journey, we're going to take a bit of a step back in time and we're going to take a ride together. I promise not to use too many train puns, but I have to have at least a couple of them. And this train is going to take us back to 2017, because it was in 2017 that our company first launched. Back then, we were known as Nexmo. We're now part of the Vonage family, and we're an API communications company. So in 2017, we launched our first API product, the SMS API. And as we launched the actual product, at the same time, we also launched documentation to go hand in hand with it. And so when we launched the SMS API as our first API back then, we also created a developer portal called Nexmo Developer that had guides and code snippets and API reference documentation and all that sort of good stuff. That site back in 2017 was built as a custom platform. We didn't use any out-of-the-box sort of docs tooling that was available then. We built it on Ruby on Rails as our framework, because Ruby on Rails is really a well-trodden technical path. It's if you run into any troubleshooting issues, you can Google usually the question and find a multiplicity of Stack Overflow answers. We chose Markdown as the content format for our docs because it lowered the threshold of contribution. It was a standard formatting. While at the same time, we had a focus on manual testing so that our one engineer and our one technical writer back in 2017 spent a lot of their time diving into each line of the code and each line of the docs. It wasn't the best use of their valuable time. And as a result of all of that, our docs and our code were actually very much intertwined. And writing our docs back in 2017 felt a lot like writing code. Fast forward to now, to 2021, and the Nexmo developer site is now known as the Vonage API developer, and it runs on a custom platform tool that we've open sourced and released called Station, which generates numerous unique developer documentation portals. Vonage API developer is one of them. We now have an open source renderer that we have released that that renders our Markdown content for us into fully rendered web pages. We also have released an OpenAPI renderer tool as well, because we've taken all of our API reference docs and we've turned them into OpenAPI specification formatting. We've transitioned from manual testing to a suite of automated testing so that we can automate the things that we can, so that people can focus on the things that cannot be automated. And we've also spent a lot of time recently around the topic of internationalization, of how can we grow our content and our utility and usefulness beyond the English-speaking language. And one of the most exciting things is that our docs and our code, as a result of all of this work, are now separated from each other. And our prose and our code live in two separate repositories, and writing documentation no longer needs to feel like you are writing code at the same time. To get to this part of where we are in our evolution, we are supported by an ecosystem of tooling that we built that really supports Station writ large. Those tools are primarily three different areas. One is the Nexmo Markdown renderer, which we mentioned, and the OAS renderer. One of them renders our Markdown content into web pages, and the other one renders OpenAPI specification documents into web pages. And the third one is a suite of custom GitHub Actions. We've transitioned to GitHub Actions for most of our continuous integration testing. But in addition to our testing, it also checks for broken links. It checks for offensive language. It checks for redirects are working properly, checks that make sure the spelling matches American English, and all other sorts of things. each of those tools, whether it's the renderers or each action, is as much as possible a single purpose modularized component so that when we are working on one of those things, we don't have to think and worry that we're necessarily impacting everything else at the same time. And we can play, we can refactor, we can add and expand functionality, build testing on one single purpose modularized component without impacting Station writ large all at once at the same time. Before we get into a bit of a more of a dive into the technical architecture of Station and the technical decisions we took, it would behoove us to spend a couple minutes discussing what led us to this point to begin with. Why did we build Station at all? So like a lot of things in our life, it started with a question. In this case, the question came to us from another line of the business. That line of the business had its own docs portal, its own documentation portal, and their docs portal was kind of running near end of life. And they turned to us, the Vonage API developer portal team, and said, you know, you have this great docs portal. It was called Nexma Developer. Now it's called Vonage API Developer. It works really well. Do you mind sort of deleting all the content from it, copying and pasting the content from us, and just pushing that up as a duplicate site? Would you be able to do that for us? It would be awesome. I would be so happy if you could take care of that for us. So we looked at that question that was posed to our agile, but you know, small but agile team, and we answered, yes, we would be happy to do that, but with a caveat. What was the caveat? We are going to do something else. Now, you may ask, why did we choose to answer with a caveat? And there's many reasons why we chose to do that. For the purposes of our conversation, I want to zoom in on one reason in particular, which is this data. Now, this is a caveat to the data. This data only comes from my own head. It doesn't come from anywhere that I know of. I made it up, so take it for what it's worth. But I think anecdotally it's true, which is there is an inverse relationship between the number of unique portals, number of unique code bases on one hand, and the emotional health and sustainability of the team that serves those code bases on the other hand. The more unique code bases, the lower the amount of emotional health of the team and long-term sustainability of the team working on them. So we looked at this, granted, anecdotal data coming out of Ben's head and said, you know, maybe we want to address this early on because, as I mentioned, we are not a huge team. We're more than one writer and one engineer, but we're not much larger than that. And we want to make sure that we remain happy and satisfied in our work and don't feel overwhelmed. So we wanted to address that inverse relationship problem. And we decided that we could do that by creating one platform that could be used to generate all these portals and share the code base amongst them. So how does that all function then? So if we take a step back and look at what it looks like from the end user. So imagine you are that end user sitting at your desk and you, of course, are dressed in a beautiful gradient color scheme and you make a request for content from your developer portal, whether it's the Vonage API developer portal or another developer portal running on it. And that on that portal would be things like the code snippets, the tutorials, guides, use cases, custom web pages, API reference, landing pages, all sorts of things like that. That portal is supported by Station. Station is wrapped as a gem, a Ruby gem, which is, you know, an executable package that you can include in your gem file, meaning that you're saying this is my dependency for my developer portal. And so this developer portal, whatever one it is that you have, is running powered by that gem called Station. Station has two of its features have been disaggregated and modularized out of its code base and generalized into an OAS renderer, the OpenAPI specification renderer, and the Markdown renderer. In the future, we like to take more areas of Station, if possible, and separate it out of its monolith of a code base and continue to separate them out into separate packages for all the reasons we mentioned before, the ease of refactoring, the ease of bug fixing, the ability to just use that package if that's the use case that's needed, etc. So the developer portal makes a request to Station to render. It's the pipeline, renders the content. The content that's rendered gets back sent up to the user, and that's supported by the OAS renderer and the mark down renderer. That's what's happening sort of above the water, so to speak. Beneath the water, below the surface, are all sorts of tooling. We have our automated testing suite that is deployed on every single time a new pull request is raised and changes are made to it. Every word in all of our documentation is checked against American English. Every word is checked to make sure that it reduces ableist, gendered, language, racist language, other forms of offensive language. We have an automated release workflows to make sure that we can simplify the ability to push out these modularized tools as they happen. And most recently, we've also built an entire automated pipeline for translation of English content to Japanese or Chinese content, and soon to be other languages as well, and back into the portals as they run. So when the content is ready, has been done, translated, it was finished in its translation, a pull request will be raised automatically by the pipeline within the portal with the new content and tagging the appropriate reviewer to make sure that it was okay. So from end to end, from pushing up the content to be translated and receiving it back down once it is translated and making a pull request end to end is automated for the use within every developer portal. In order to get to that point, we had to make a few technical decisions. And this is where I want to spend the rest of our time together. So in order to make the technical decisions, remember, the underlying architecture of Station is a Ruby on Rails framework. So in order to make some decisions, we had to go off the rails a little bit. And I fully intend the pun in that case. And what do I mean when I say that we went off the rails a little bit? So take a step back to 2016, when the Ruby on Rails doctrine was published by DHH, who is the creator of Ruby on Rails. And in that doctrine became some of the most pivotal sort of principles of Ruby on Rails that were articulated. And not only articulated Ruby on Rails, but became sort of like the model for the model view controller frameworks that came after Ruby on Rails. One of those articulated philosophical points of Ruby on Rails is what we call, or what is called, convention over configuration. This may sound familiar. What convention over configuration means is that it very well may be that, Ben, you prefer snake casing your variables, and you, other person, prefer camel casing your variables, or you prefer singularizing your classes for your models, but you really prefer that they're pluralized. And that can go on and on and on. And those are, you know, more basic cases, but you can get much more complex in the ways in which each person's preferences become a unique idiosyncratic configuration. And Rails, most notably DHH behind Rails, said, if we want to build a framework that can be used by everyone, we need to create some conventions. And I don't think you are such a beautiful and unique snowflake that your personal configuration is going to supersede the conventions within the framework. So that became known as convention over configuration, meaning that I, as a Rails developer, can start working in another Rails code base, and I can pretty much get my head wrapped around it without too much time, because the things all look the way they look in every other code base. It's kind of like the coffee shop chain of frameworks. You walk into one and you know what to expect, and you know where your latte is on the menu because you've been to 300 other versions of that coffee shop. Now, we can argue with that. We can say it's not unique, but you can't argue on the benefits that it proposes, even if you argue with some of the challenges it also raises. But for our case, we were building something that had to be uniquely customizable. So we needed to start redefining some of those conventions. Most notably, one of the big ones for us was that Rails as a framework expects certain things to live in certain places in your file path. So for us, for example, the public folder of your Rails app, which is typically where you put your images and things like that, expects to live in the root folder of your Rails application in the public folder. But for us, we wanted to provide our end users who are building their portals the ability to have their own public folder in their documentation path. So we had to add that into the Action Dispatch static middleware, which you see on line two, that our docs path is also going to have a public folder. And we had to do the same thing for web page views. Rails expects web page views to be inside app/views in your Rails application. But for us, we want to provide the ability for our users to build custom web pages in their documentation path. And those web pages could be for any reason and any purpose, but we wanted them to be able to do it. So we need to also add that path to the array of paths that are inside Rails. And we had to do that for a whole bunch of things. So we had to override the paths and say that, yes, there's a root Rails root path, and that's your root folder of your of station. And that will be where all the basic configurable, basic template files are for views. But that won't be where your actual application lives. Your application is going to live in its with its views and its public folder, et cetera. It's going to live in the docs path. And we had to provide that as well. Similarly, every single view, every single web page view inside Station itself has as little possible static data as it possibly can have. So every single view is basically reading from config files, mostly from YAML config files, and generating the view with those YAML config files. Now, this is not totally off the rails, so to speak, from a Rails configuration, but we do it to really an extent that you don't see in a lot of places, meaning we go full steam on this. And almost every single view is config driven. There's really very little static data that's inside an HTML page, an HTML ERB page within Station. So in addition to redefining some conventions, as I mentioned, we also want to create the ability for end users who are building their own developer portals on Station to be able to provide their own custom web pages. Now, you might want to build a web page, let's say, for an event you're hosting or you're sponsoring. Or you might want to build an event, a landing page for, let's say, a product or a computer language that you want to focus in on. Or you might want to build a web page to show your team members, or what frequently asked questions, what have you, any sort of use case. But we want to do so in a way that would enable anyone on a team with as much width as that could be, anyone on a team to contribute web pages, even if they weren't a front-end developer. So we don't need you to have to know HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to build a beautiful web page. We want you to know the configuration blocks, the content blocks that are available to you, and to build a YAML config file for your web page with those content blocks in the places that you want them to be on the web page. So it's sort of like the drag and drop interface of dragging content blocks and placing it around on a page, like you've seen a lot of web page builders. But we did it in text format. Maybe one day we'll get to more graphical format, but it's that model with predefined content blocks they can drag around and customize. That is powered by this code, which is in a controller, which basically reads that landing page config, that web page config, and renders it in its rows and columns as designated in that config. So this is an example from one of those YAML configs. This generates a structured text block with frequently asked questions. And this YAML config, the snippet of it, but really the whole thing of it, when it's all put together, enables a person without having to have front-end development skills to build something like this. And we're really proud of that, the ability to expand the usage of Station and developer portal even way beyond developers, whether back-end or front-end developers, members of community team, members of the sales team, marketing team, what have you, can actually add valuable content within their own skill set without having to know JavaScript and HTML and CSS. The last thing we did as part of this process was we also added a lot of exception handling within the code of Station itself. And the reason why we did that was because we felt it was really important that when we handed off Station to another team, whether it was internal or external, and they were getting up and running with it, there was a lot of configuration that they needed to define, a lot of configuration files, YAMLs we mentioned, and all these kind of settings. And it would be easy to get Station up and running to initialize it and think it's working. And then you'd visit the web page and you would see a lot of stuff missing. and it could be a frustrating experience. And we wanted to make sure that you would fail fast and fail early so that you would know what you need to do earlier on and hopefully reduce the headache later on. So we did that both for missing files, for example, and also for missing parameters within those config files, both if you're missing the file and within the file, if you're missing a required parameter, we want you to know that early on when you're initializing your instance of station and not later on when you're pulling out your hairs out of your head trying to figure out how do I get that, you know, flag to show or that content to show or what have you. In this whole process, we really grappled with a couple questions, three questions in particular that I want to leave with you to think about and how you would approach it, whether it's you're building something like this yourself or you're starting to consider what does it mean to build a platform tool. And the three questions we really grappled with, and we decided for our needs a direction with each one of these, but how we decided might not be the decision that's best for you, even if it was best for us in the moment. The three questions were to refactor or start anew, meaning we had a Ruby on Rails docs portal, and we turned it into this platform tool that generates unique portals from the tool. But we chose in that moment to refactor the Ruby on Rails platform into a platform generating tool rather than starting anew with an entirely new language or framework. And we did that because we realized we had so much of it already inside and we needed to adapt it. And it would be less, at least we thought, and I think we were proven right, but we thought in the initial iteration to be less work to refactor what we had and start totally fresh. The second question we grappled with was the sort of the dialectical tension between customization versus complexity. The more we made the station instances of station customizable, the more we introduced complexity into the initialization. Meaning the more options we left for you to have to define, the harder it got to boot up. And at the same time, the less options we presented to you to define, the less able you were to make it your own, to make it what you needed to be. And we really grappled with where was the line between that. And we're still, I would be honest, grappling with that question, and it's not settled. And we constantly debate in our team how best to manage that dialectical tension between the customization and the complexity. And lastly, we really grapple with the question of modularization, meaning we started off with what we would call, or DHH Rails creator calls, the majestic monolith, and we've started modularizing it. Well, modularization is great on one hand because it allows you, as we mentioned, to refactor and to bug fix within that discrete code base, but at the same time, if it's not fully disconnected from the monolith, if there's some dependency between the two, and you can't, by nature, for whatever reason, fully cut them off from each other, you introduce a bit of more challenge in the development process when you need to work on one code base, let's say the monolith, and also work on the module code base, that little single purpose component at the same time. You wish they were fully separated, but at this point, for whatever reason, they're not fully separated. And will we get there fully at some point? I think we will. But at this point, there is some dependency linkage between the two, still between the OAS renderer and station, the markdown renderer and station. So did we modularize? We did. Should we modularize? I think we should still, but it does present some challenges. I want to leave you with some resources as we conclude, which is you can find Station's code base on GitHub. You can find it on RubyGems. We have published documentation for Station, and we continue to update that documentation as we move forward. And we've also published a bootstrapped portal that you can clone from GitHub, and it has all the config files you need to get up and running with your instance of Station. And you can edit those config files to make it your own. There are two instances of Station running for Vonage now. One I showed you, the Vonage API developer portal, and the other one is our Vonage business communications portal. I hope that was helpful. This has been such a journey for us, and I'm glad to take part in sharing some of it with you today. And I look forward to discussing with you more all about the process and where we're heading in the future. Have a great rest of the time here at FOSDEM.